This year, I got back to reading a book a month, and my book for the month of May is a book called The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. And I saw this book promoted on Rainn Wilson. I follow him, Dwight Schrute, on Instagram, and he had the book and said, every parent, hell, every Gen Zer needs to read this as soon as possible. At the risk of sounding pretentious, this book is both important and timely. And it just, I'm very interested, usually not interested in books on parenting. As most of our friends and family and pediatrician have told us, you just figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's been very true as we now have a daughter who's almost three. But because the project of raising a kid is so overwhelming, I'm always interested in tips or stories or, but in this case in particular, because it has to do with the thing that I've probably been more worried about in raising our daughter than anything else, and that is social media, the internet, when to get her a phone, all of that. And that's what this book deals with. And it's written by Jonathan Haidt. And his overarching theme, kids are overprotected in the real world and underprotected online and in the virtual world. And this book was so interesting that it took me a while to read it because I kept rereading pages and chapters and paragraphs. I could do 4 hours on this book, and I've been a bit overwhelmed planning this segment knowing I had only 15 minutes. There is so much to get to. But basically, this book confirms what a lot of us have always thought or had an uneasy feeling about, that something just isn't right with this new world where everybody walks around with their faces in a phone. But at least a fully developed adult brain can kind of handle it. Usually not all that well, but kind of handle it. But a kid's brain, in particular an adolescent's brain, ages roughly 8 to 14, they really cannot handle it.
Yeah.
At all. This does not apply to every kid. There are 75 million kids in America. I've got many friends whose kids are doing great. But I've also got many friends who have told me stories about what their kids have dealt with for these last 5 or 10 years and all sorts of issues that they're going through as they try to make their way through childhood. And so many of those friends have had this feeling that it's linked to social media or direct evidence that it's linked to online traps. And so much of the research in this book by Haidt is centered around the spike in just about everything you can measure in terms of mental health, anxiety, depression, self-harm, suicide, feelings of hopelessness, self-doubt, self-hate, and all the spikes in all of these categories happened in the years around when the iPhone first came out.
And we're not talking a spike of 4, 5, 7%. It's amazing.
Yes.
On some of these rates.
The book is also full of charts. He does extensive research. There are so many footnotes and charts in here, and almost every chart is identical. You start seeing the problems go up in the 90s, which he says is when the overprotective parenting started, because of reports in the media, which kind of started back in the 80s about child abductions and kidnappings and this and that. And so America, and many, many countries around the world, as he goes into, we got really overprotective. And so you see the lines start to go up. But right around 2010 to 2015, the line just shoots up dramatically. And as he says, until somebody can prove that there's something in the water or something in the air or something else that nobody has come up with, the only link here is that that's when kids started to carry around cell phones, smartphones, not the old cell phones where all they could do was call, but smartphones where they had 24/7 access to the internet.
Just get on there and scroll.
Just get on there and scroll. And he talks about how that took away what kids need, that for our entire history of evolution on this earth, there's a reason that human kids need 18 years to grow, unlike any other creature on earth, which needs a month or a year max, and then they're adults.
Right.
Human kids need a slow growth childhood. And he says play is the work of childhood. And because of the overprotective parents and schools that cut back on recess and PE in favor of working more to get test results and high test scores, kids don't play outdoors as much. And then came the smartphone, and that really cut into being what they call free-range kids.
Yeah.
And the charts are amazing at how time with friends just started plummeting. In-person time with friends for kids started plummeting around 2010, 2011, when the iPhone and smartphones became commonplace. And he says that there's no other theory that's been able to explain why rates of anxiety and depression surged among adolescents in so many countries at the same time in the same way. And he explores the decline of the play-based childhood and how the overprotective parenting and schools, you know, not giving kids as much time to play, how that played into it, and how it's impacted girls and boys. It impacts both of them. It impacts girls more than boys, but it still impacts boys. And it impacts girls through social media more. That girls are more susceptible to comparisons online and to bullying online and things like that, where boys aren't quite lured in by that.
I can see that. Yeah.
But the problem for boys has been gaming and pornography.
Yeah.
And what he goes through with the sheer amount of time that adolescents spend with their phones, it's absolutely staggering that it's something like a minimum of about 8 hours a day. And in a lot of cases, it's way more than that that kids are spending on their phones, just because they have the internet and they have all these traps right in front of them.
Is it a lot different? Because I definitely think there is something to this. But just for the balance of it, we were told the same things when we were kids, that we were watching too much TV.
Yep.
That would sometimes go 6-7 hours a day.
He talks about that. TV, video games, even before that, magazines. There was always this. And this is,
but
not,
this is different.
This is not even the same ballpark.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Here are the four reasons why social media harms girls more than boys. The first is that girls are more sensitive to visual comparisons, especially when other people praise or criticize one's face and body. Boys don't care as much about that, but girls, sometimes their life revolves around it.
Sure.
So these visually oriented social media platforms that focus on images of oneself are ideally suited to pushing down a girl's sociometer. And these companies, these social media platforms, on their algorithms, they just start feeding these girls things they don't need to see. But the girls don't understand that that's happening, and they fall into this trap. The second reason, girls' aggression is often expressed in attempts to harm the relationships and reputations of other girls, whereas boys' aggression is more likely to be expressed in physical ways. So you get all this online bullying from girls that you don't really get when boys are online.
And that old conversation that we've had about, you don't just walk away from it and you go home to your sanctuary. It follows you.
Yes.
As long as you have that device with you.
The third reason, girls and women more readily share emotions. When everything moved online and girls became hyper-connected, girls with anxiety or depression might have influenced many other girls to develop anxiety and depression. The fourth reason is that the internet has made it easier for men to approach and stalk girls and women and to behave badly towards them while avoiding accountability. This is one of his big themes, that we're overprotecting kids in the real world and underprotecting them in the virtual world. He says most of the child predators, they've moved online. They're not at the parks anymore. They're online because they can trick girls into thinking they're a boy of their age, and and they can manipulate them online. And now with, you know, people being more vigilant and security cameras and things, most of the real world dangers that we've built up don't really exist. They're out there. You shouldn't just be a completely cavalier parent. But he stresses how much kids need this free range childhood, how exploring and making mistakes and getting into risky behavior in the real world, that helps you become an adult.
Yeah.
And the sheltered lives that kids lead now because they're online and they don't have any real personal interaction, that's led to a lot of the failure to launch, and that's where we get into boys. Boys are having more problems these days just becoming men than they've ever had before because they're spending so much time online where they don't have this social interaction, where, you know, a lot of their agency has been taken away, and they're just kind of aimless. There are all these studies that are showing so many boys these days just have a response to all these different questions in these studies and surveys of, yeah, I really don't know what my place is, or I really don't know what my future is, or I really don't know that I have any self-worth.
That hopelessness, that it's just, yeah.
And it's all spiked around 2010, 2012, when kids start getting smartphones.
The stat that I saw, and this may have, the study may have come out after this book was written, because this is from an article in December, but this is the most alarming stat. You talk about those increases in self-harm and suicide, that from 2007 through 2021, suicide rates for American kids 10 to 24, it rose 62%.
Mm-hmm.
62%? That's the most alarming stat I've ever heard about something like that. And that's from the Center of Disease, and this was a very comprehensive study. This is not just some guess. This is an examination of a major epidemic here in our country.
Yep. More about boys. He writes that boys and young men withdrew much of their time and effort from the physical world, which was increasingly opposed to unsupervised play, exploration, risk-taking, and they invested it in the rapidly expanding virtual world, and boys are at greater risk than girls of failure to launch. They're more likely to become young adults who are not in education, employment, or training. In the early 2010s, American teen boys' thinking patterns shifted from what they had traditionally been forever, higher rates of externalizing cognitions and behaviors that are then internalizing, to a pattern that's more commonly shown by girls, which is a higher rate of internalizing. All kids are now internalizing.
Yeah.
At the same time, boys started to shun risk more so than happened for girls. And that's being a boy's risky behavior, but parents clamped down on it, and then the internet took any desire for that away.
Yeah.
And as boys engaged in fewer risky activities outdoors or away from home, they started spending more time at home on screens, and their mental health slowly started to decline in the 90s and the aughts, but then that dramatically changed in the early 2010s. And with social media for girls, spending hours connecting with others online produces an increase in the quantity of social interactions, but a decrease in the quality of relationships. And boys, like girls, became lonelier during what he calls the Great Rewiring. This is just the tip of the iceberg, getting into the thoughts and the theories and the stats and the research in this book.
I'd love to talk about what, does he suggest some solutions of?
Yes.
I think that would be a great segment of, you know, how do you combat this?
And his main solutions are, schools need to ban phones. No school should allow phones. When they show up, they should be put in a phone locker, and when it's 3 o'clock and they leave, they get their phones back. He says the minimum age for signing up for an account, you know, an Instagram account, is 13. He said the government should bump that up to at least 16, because 13-year-olds cannot handle social media accounts. But he says there are so many problems because, you know, parents should not give a kid a cell phone until 16 or so.
Yeah.
But he says there's so much social pressure because
I can't imagine the pressure that's on.
You have to have all the parents agree to do that.
Yeah, right. That's why it's not going to work.
And that's why it's impossible.
And no parent is going to, no school is going to ban cell phones with school shooting threat. You know, now
you
every
can't
parent
take that away from my
yeah,
child.
Every parent will say that, right. You know, you can't do it because I want to get in touch with my kid in case of this, you know, the very rare threat, oddly enough, of a school shooting, even though it seems like we have them all the time.
Yep. He brings that up too in the book. He says if you do one thing to be a better gardener of your child in the virtual world, it should be to delay your children's full entry into the phone-based childhood by delaying when you give them their first smartphone or any smart device. Give only basic phones before the start of high school and try to coordinate with other parents so that your children don't feel like they're the only ones without a smartphone in middle school. And there have been so many organizations formed. In fact, when I tweeted that I was going to talk about this book this morning, I heard from P1 Lauren. She said, I'm so thrilled that you're bringing this incredible book to the airwaves. I read it and started a parent-led advocacy group called Phone Free Denton ISD to help tighten the phone policy at our schools. Please share this info. Locked away phones from first bell to last bell is the only way to go for our kids.
Well,
there is so much here. I cannot recommend this enough, especially if you're a new parent like me, or maybe you're an older parent, but you're struggling with this new virtual world that the kids are exposed to and the smartphone. It's called The Anxious Generation: How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. The author's Jonathan Haidt. I'd love to get him on the show because
he's wrote a lot of interesting books.
Yes. The Coddling of the American Mind is another one.
It's a big one.
People have recommended to me that I'd like to read as well. I'm telling you, we could do a full 4.5-hour show on this topic.
Yeah.
So I feel bad about just scratching the surface, but I want to get it out there and I want to recommend it to parents, especially modern day parents of kids who are young and they're entering these early years or adolescence. All right, 8:35 here on The Ticket. That's my May book of the month. It was a lot.